Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Dr. Natalie Marks has been on the show many times, a Chicago veterinarian. Dr. Patricia Delamore is pediatrics infectious disease specialist based in New York City. We are here talking about tick disease and the relationship that tick disease has in dogs and in people. You know, the term is called One Health. That's often used. It's often used, but nothing is really done about it. And I am so excited to announce an initiative, Stop Lyme. And in fact, there's a website, stoplyme.com. It's all about just that. Not only Lyme disease, other tick diseases, because this is what I thought about. If the dog is outside, and dogs are susceptible to tick disease, if the dog is outside, there is usually a person at the other end of the leash. And that person potentially has been exposed as well. So I'll start with you, Dr. Delamore. When we first came to you with this idea and said, you know what, there's a tie-in here between people and dogs, did you think, oh my gosh, this is the craziest idea I've ever heard?
Absolutely not. I'm a proud pug owner, and I also have an 8-year-old boy at home. The age group most affected by Lyme disease in the United States is 5 to 9-year-old boys, Lyme disease being a tick-borne illness. So I have Lyme disease on my mind all the time and frequently check my dog and my 2 children, my son and my daughter.
So my thought is we can actually do more to protect our pets against tick disease, Dr. Marks, than we can ourselves. I'm not sure that's completely a good thing.
It isn't, but it's true, Steve. So we've talked about Lyme disease before. There are things that we recommend for our canine patients, not only the daily tick checks and staying away from those at-risk environmental areas, but we have the advent of Lyme vaccination to talk about with your veterinarian about if your canine patient is an individual at risk. And we also have great products out there that are available to protect from flea and tick disease, many of them monthly, and now we have a 12-week product. So there's a lot that we can discuss and hopefully work together to make sure that we're protecting all members of the family.
Yeah, I want to talk more about the technology because it's changed for pets and some of those products in a second. How serious is the threat to people of tick disease, Dr. Delamore?
Well, Lyme disease is reported to have perhaps at a very, very conservative estimate, 300,000 new cases per year. It's one of the top reportable diseases in the United States. So it is a very real threat, no doubt about it.
Do you think that it's underreported?
It probably is underreported because much of the reporting...
A better way to put that probably is underdiagnosed.
Well, underdiagnosed and underreported are two different things.
Right.
It's not necessarily always diagnosed. But the other part is that a lot of reporting comes from laboratories, and there's the early stages of Lyme disease where you won't send a lab report, and the doctors may just give you a course of amoxicillin or doxycycline and send you on your way and not file that report.
So it's both perhaps underreported and underdiagnosed, and we're just talking about Lyme disease. We haven't even said, okay, there are other tick diseases too that are all in the mix, and in fact, sometimes, Dr. Marks, for dogs, and I suspect for people too, it isn't only those ticks like to share. They love to share. How sweet. So they share pathogens. They share disease. So not only are they giving us Lyme, they're giving us anaplasma and or babesia and or ehrlichiosis, other diseases that are hard to say. They sound nasty. I think they are.
Yeah, and Rocky Mountain spotted fever, if you want to throw another one in there,
sure,
Steve.
Sure, why not?
We are, I think, a little luckier in veterinary medicine in that we do recommend annual blood test screening. So we have dogs that come in for their annual physical exam. We take a blood sample, and we can screen not only for their heartworm disease status, but for 3 of the common tick diseases. But like you've mentioned, there are other tick diseases out there that we're speculating aren't even discovered yet or that we're missing. And so it is becoming much more of a prevalent problem. And hopefully we're getting better at diagnosing and actually finding what these diseases are.
Now, in human medicine, Lyme disease in particular, for whatever reason, is kind of controversial, you know. And when we thought about this on the veterinary side, it's kind of a no-brainer, you know. The dog may be diagnosed with Lyme disease, then you treat it, and hopefully the treatment works. If not, then you deal with whatever. I mean, it's not a controversial thing. Not at all so on the human side, and I want to understand that better. I will ask you more about that when we come back as we talk the exciting topic of tick disease. I think it's exciting. And really, this initiative that I believe, and we're going to learn more about whether this is possible or not, how awareness might save your dog's life and or maybe even change your child's life or your life, because living with tick disease is no fun. We'll be right back. On WGN Radio, Dr. Patricia De La Mora and also Dr. Natalie Marks, they're working together to say we need to stop Lyme. It's an initiative with veterinary medicine. That's Dr. Marks' job in Chicago at Blum Animal Hospital. And it is your job as a pediatric infectious disease specialist in New York City, right?
Correct.
So I left saying, and this is the tough question, you know, it is kind of controversial on the human side. And I need to be enlightened a little bit. Is the understanding of the disease controversial? Is the diagnosing of the disease controversial? The treatment, or maybe even all the above?
So I'm thankful to be a pediatrician, because much of the controversy that exists in adults exists in pediatrics, but certainly not to the degree it does in the adults' land. I think that there is some room for improvement in the lab testing, especially in early stages of disease, because in most diseases, unless you have a superhuman immune system, you can't detect antibodies for the first 4, 6, 8 weeks of disease. And the same is true of Lyme disease. So unless a doctor is really aware of what they're looking for and has it on their mind, they may not think about it. You can't rely on a blood test at that point in time.
Now, is that part of the thing, though? And I'm sorry to interrupt, but in veterinary medicine, Dr. Marks, just because of your training and because you are a veterinarian and really a public health official, in my opinion, as every veterinarian is.
That's right.
My guess is tick disease, kind of you were born with that always being on your mind.
Well, it's definitely on the forefront of our everyday. I mean, we talk about it every day. We talk about not only our products that help prevent disease. We talk about testing. We talk about the signs to be looking for. And I think it's something that we're much more educated about in school, perhaps, because it is so much more, I think, in probably family's mind, a dog disease, maybe, per se. Mm-hmm. But we definitely talk about it, I think, a lot more than maybe the average pediatrician. I know I have three children, and my pediatrician personally has never talked about tick disease with me. So maybe this is going to start changing things.
Well, that's the hope, isn't it? I mean, this is all about education and about change. But I want to continue along the path we were going, Dr. De La Mora. So if it is, say, diagnosed in a person, whether it be a child or an adult, I believe it's antibiotics that is the way to go. But I've been told by doctors, oh, no, we prescribe too many antibiotics. So I suspect we do. So how do you navigate all that?
So if someone genuinely has Lyme disease, you definitely treat them with antibiotics. There's no question about that.
Okay, so what you just said is important. There is no question about it. That's the right thing to do.
There's no question that you need antibiotics if you have Lyme disease.
But what if the antibodies show, I don't want to get too technical here, but that the person's been exposed and they're asymptomatic, at least at this point?
Right. So
is that where
humans,
it gets
humans
kind of
are
touchy?
Different than dogs, so we don't routinely screen humans for Lyme disease.
Do you think we should be, if not routinely screening, at least paying more attention?
I think we definitely need to pay attention. I think especially in late summer when a lot of kids come back from summer camp, if they come back a little tired and fatigued, it's often, well, you just came back from camp, let's see how it goes. And maybe the thought process isn't there. I certainly do have patients who come to me who had their blood test at their own suggestion, and they're found to be positive. And in those cases, again, working closely with your pediatrician as a parent can be very helpful in detecting disease.
Dr. Marks just pointed out she has three children. You have kids, too.
I do.
Is it more of a concern, is all of this more of a concern, I mean, tick disease for kids?
Anaplasma, Ehrlichia, Babesia, Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, and the newcomer on the block, Borrelia miyamotoi, seem to be more adult problems. You can definitely find those diseases in children.
And these are all tick
diseases.
Those
are all tick-borne diseases. You find those more commonly in adults. For children, no doubt about it, boys aged 5 to 9, and I'm the mother of one of those, is the most commonly affected age group, followed then by men aged 40 to 44.
Why? Do we have any idea?
Who rolls around in the dirt?
I did.
Who
I still do.
Yeah. So it's probably, you know, just boys outside being active, and then weekend warriors out, you know, gardening, running in the brush, doing trail runs, etc.
Pairing with a veterinarian to talk about this for educational purposes to create more awareness makes sense to you?
Absolutely.
Makes sense to you, Dr. Marks?
Of course.
And what is your hope?
My hope is that we can ultimately come to an understanding. As you said, Lyme is a very controversial disease for a multitude of reasons that are probably beyond the scope of this conversation.
Sure.
But I do hope that all the sides involved can come together to create the best test, the best cure.
All right. For more information, StopLyme.com. StopLyme, L-Y-M-E, if you don't know, StopLyme.com. Dr. Marks and Dr. De La Mora, hopefully we will make a difference. 3 months from now, we may change some lives and help some dogs, too, along the way. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
And I need to thank the Global Lyme Alliance as well as the American Veterinary Medical Association for partnering to do this. And we will be talking about this not only here in Chicago from the Allstate Showcase Studio on WGN, but all over the country. The website is StopLyme.com, L-Y-M-E, as I said, StopLyme.com. Or go to my site, SteveDale.tv. Lots more information there. I still have some time, so our phone number, 312-981-7200. Lots of text coming in already. And, of course, you can text us at that same number, 312-981-7200. Let's see what they say here. Dale, you need a longer show, at least 1 hour. The Lutheran Hour should be, I don't even want to read bad things about the Lutheran Hour people. That wouldn't be right, would it? No, I'm not going to do that. But thank you very much. Steve, birds. So how can that be? Your problem is not just John Cass, you said last week. What do you think of this Charlie Potter guy? Well, I guess I've gotten several emails about this as well. I guess Charlie Potter, who's on very, 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 very early in the morning here, has been talking about how feral cats or community cats are a problem and about how they kill birds. The reality is they do kill some birds. The numbers that are sometimes given by some people are outrageous, in the billions. We don't even have that many birds in America, like 10 billion or whatever numbers are sometimes used. It's ridiculous. I wish we had that many birds in America. We never did, though. And cats aren't the problem overall. For bird populations, yes, there is some impact. I don't deny that. And that's why I like trap, neuter, return to lower the populations as we spay and neuter these cats. But the biggest problem of all for birds, habitat change. Really, the destruction of where they live. Also, air pollution, light pollution. Those are the biggest problems. Boy, do I have the text. 312-981-7200. I'm looking at them. I don't know that I have time to answer very many. Some are some complicated medical questions. So I've touched on a nerve. That's a good thing regarding Lyme. We will have Dr. Patricia De La Mora back on the show with Dr. Natalie Marks at some point reasonably soon. I'm not a human physician. I would never play one on the radio. And I really cannot answer those technical questions regarding Lyme. They are all very good, appropriate questions. And that's why I thought about this campaign, because, you know, Lyme is probably underdiagnosed in people, as Dr. De La Mora said. And we don't even completely understand why these people are getting sick, how sick they're getting, why in some people antibiotics work just like that, bang, boom, and they feel better. In other people, that's not the case. And in dogs, we don't even know. So the good news is we typically routinely, as Dr. Mark said, we test these dogs, which is a great thing, for a variety of tick diseases, including Lyme disease. But dogs cannot tell us that they're not feeling well, that they're feeling just a little off. And that really is sometimes the case with Lyme. So sometimes, I'll tell you, the symptoms, I'm talking about dogs now, it's quite clear what's going on. But sometimes they're just feeling a little off, and then they feel fine for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and then they feel off again. And we may attribute, if we even notice the dog is feeling off, we might attribute that to the dog's age. We might attribute it to the weather. We might not even notice, because dogs don't get up in the morning. We don't take their temperature every day. And if they're running a slight fever, if they're feeling just yucky, they can't tell us, and they don't call in to work sick. We don't know. Lots more info about Lyme in people and Lyme in pets. It's under a tab called Programs on my website. That's SteveDale.tv. Easy to remember, right? SteveDale.tv. Under the tab Programs, Stop Lyme. Lots about that initiative we'll be talking about in the upcoming week.